Hebrews chapter 11, the same three verses, the first three verses and verse 6. And tonight is living a biblical worldview, not only having one, but living one, living a biblical worldview, Hebrews chapter 11. Encourage you to be out next Sunday morning. We're going to speak on God's design from the beginning of time, what God has designed for mankind, for the marriage, for what constitutes a marriage, what constitutes the anatomy of people, etc. And that's going to be God's design across America, across Canada. There's going to be a multitude of preachers preach on the same topic because of the ban against in Canada. Probably coming to America, the ban on conversion therapy. Even parents, under this bill, are not allowed to talk with their children about not doing those kind of things. I want to do that. Well, here's why we don't do that. It won't be allowed. That we can probably do it in quiet, but if someone tells on you, you can be in trouble and probably taken to jail for it eventually. We'll read about that in just a moment. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please him. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's pause a moment for prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you speak through me this evening. I readily admit, and I rapidly admit, I am nothing and you are everything. I pray that you'd forgive me of sin, that you'd empty me of myself, pride, ego, whatever it be, and fill me with your spirit. I pray, Lord, as we look at this very, very important topic, Lord, I've got so much information I want to share. May your word be preeminent. May the truths found therein, and Lord, maybe be believers and trusters in the wonderful word of God given to us. And so, Lord, help me this evening. Be with Cindy teaching downstairs. And I ask all these things in Jesus' name. I pray, Amen. So, if you happen to save your outline from last week, first of all, number one was the truth of God's word, and there was final authority. I found this poem. I read it to my wife a couple of days ago. In the late 19th century, Stephen Crane captured our plight as we in the 21st century face the universe. A man said to the universe, "Sir, I exist." However, the universe replied, "That fact has not created in me a sense of obligation." That fact has not created in me a sense of obligation. So people are wondering, why are we here? What's the purpose of human beings? Why do we even have a world? What is the earth? What is it all about? If I were to ask you even right now, how would you answer this question? How would you answer, what is the purpose of the universe? Let me see. That should not be your answer. Let me tell you why. God made the universe. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. That's why we have a universe, to glorify God. And he's upholding in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, upholding all things by the word of his power. In Colossians 1:16, he's the creator of all things. It is his world. This is my Father's world. We're going to sing at the end. It is his world. He created it for a purpose that he might have fellowship with mankind. That is our purpose, to receive Christ as Savior and to enjoy and worship him forever. That is the purpose. Now, you probably, Pastor Tim, you may not know all those things, but we are to be learning all those things. You need to be able to give an answer to every man that asketh a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready when someone asks you these questions, or at least have the scripture to go to, or I'll get back with you. Well, what you don't want to do is give them some kind of big smoke screen. Well, no, we want to know what the Bible says. So final authority. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. It is trust. William Jennings Bryan, I believe, although my brother went to Bryan College in Dayton, Tennessee, William Jennings Bryan blew it in 1926 when he said, well, I think God could 6 days, 60 years, 600 years, 600 million years. It doesn't matter that much. It does matter. We have reaped the consequences of the church for almost 100 years from that point in time of compromising with the word of God. If it ever says millions, throw it out the window. Or whatever you do, just put your foot on and grind it. It's not part of scripture. But pastor, I've heard many Christians, yes, and they have compromised with the word of God. They have compromised with it. The final authority, and then there's a firm accountability. Also, we talked about last time, a firm accountability. We are to be trusting him. The Bible says Jesus And he, Jesus, answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? We need to be ready. That's part of the Christian apologetic. My wife got me for Christmas the apologetic Bible. I've opened it once and started reading. It's got some wonderful apologetic summaries, etc. in it. The worldview example. Here is exhibit A of a worldview. Listen to this. A naturalistic worldview. A dinosaur embryo. This is from December 22nd of 21. A dinosaur embryo discovered in China gives a look into the evolution of modern birds. A perfectly preserved dinosaur embryo has been discovered in China. Studies of the egg have provided further evidence that modern birds evolved from the prehistoric, there's a big red flag, prehistoric creatures. Look, it says, scientists recently discovered a perfectly preserved dinosaur embryo inside a fossilized egg. The baby dinosaur belonged to the Alveoportosaur and could not be hatched roughly 70 million years ago in China. And you know what? The vast majority of people who are going to read that are going to... Even the Wall Street Journal carried that. That's how pervasive the thought of evolutionary theology, evolutionary theory become a theology, become a worldview has become. The other article said, and on December 22nd, the dinosaur embryo estimated to be 66 million years old. 66 million years old. Exhibit number two is the Canada bans conversion therapy. I read just a few articles from Rachel Tressman, NPR World Radio, December 9th, 2021. Canada has formally banned conversion therapy, the widely discredited practice aimed at changing a person's sexual orientation or gender identity. Now, can you just read that sentence right there? Are you listening? The widely discredited practice aimed at... Do you not see where their worldview is coming from? Have you not... I trust you understand and read where they're coming from. It's official, says another. Our government's legislation banning the despicable and degrading practice of conversion therapy has received royal assent, meaning it is now law. And by the way, it is law in Canada as of Friday. The bill defines conversion therapy as, and this is from another article, a practice, treatment, or service designed to change a person's sexual orientation to heterosexual, to change a person's gender identity to cisgender, to change a person's gender expression so that it conforms to the sex assigned at the person's birth, repress or reduce non-heterosexual attraction or sexual behavior, to repress a person's non-cisgender gender identity, or repress or reduce a person's gender expression that does not conform to the sex assigned to the person's birth. 10 years ago, I'd be like, what in the world is that? I don't even know what those mean, and you may not know what they mean. If you're normal, you're cisgender, by the way, because you wonder what cisgender is. No, I'm male, and there are female, and that is it. That is it. That is it. So two worldviews. The worldview is that we must allow people to live however they want, and we must celebrate, support. Do you? I trust you. I know you know these things. Have you ever heard the negatives of the whole conversion therapy? How there are so many who are coming back out. There's a whole bunch of people who tried the transgender, and they're coming back. You know what? That's a big mistake. Do you not understand? This is a fad. 20 years from now, trust that. Trust that 20 years from now, it'll be like, man, this did not work out. We know. Listen, when you go contrary to God's word, you're going to say, listen, it doesn't work out. It does not work out, period. So affirm accountability. Now, secondly, number two was not only truth of God's word was one, types of worldview. James Altheus said, the worldview is the set of hinges on which all our everyday thinking and doing turns. The doing and thinking of the Chinese, the egg in China from the evolutionist is, man, 60 million years ago. Well, they discovered a new dinosaur that's 20 million years older than what they previously thought. Who was alive? Now, Ken Hammond, his favorite saying, were you there? They weren't. We only have one definitive source of who was there. It was God. Why is it so hard to simply believe what God has written down? By the way, we are on the evidentiary side. The evidence is for the Christian believing in God's word. It is absolutely abundantly clear. The evidence of science is on our side. Why aren't monkeys turning into men today if evolution's true? Where is it? Why aren't big explosions happening out in outer space and whole new things? Just why isn't that happening? Why isn't the Big Bang happening every day across the universe and there's new Earth? Why? I'll tell you why. Because God created this. You have to check your brains at the door to believe the other. This without faith. The evolutionist has faith in his wrong doctrine just as much as you and I have faith in the right doctrine. But make no mistake, it's faith one way or the other. Faith one way or the other. Pastor, you're getting wound up. Well, I get wound up about this stuff because we have so much compromised. We have compromised as a church, as a church as a whole, as Christians. So, under types of worldviews, first of all, is the explanation what it is. We find then, in the book, which I did not bring tonight, but I've been reading through it. Have you ever waded through a book? You know what means wading through a book? It's like, man, it's so deep. I'm reading a book now from Romans, about Romans 9. It's like, I have read the same passage like 4 or 5 times, the same page, and I'm still not. Now let's try it again. I know there's a good point here, and I just got to wrap my mind around it and think about it, and wow, this is that book. He says, James Sayer says, a worldview is a set of presuppositions. Now, what is a presupposition? It's what you go in looking at the dinosaur egg. Well, what? It can't mean that there was a worldwide flood, so what does it mean? So you see, that's the presupposition. I'm looking at it. Well, it happened during the flood, most likely. There were dinosaurs. The Bible says there are dinosaurs. I have no problem with that. I have no problem you telling me there's a dinosaur in the deepest part of the deepest jungle, some continent, or in the ocean. I have no problem you telling me there's a dinosaur alive today. 65 million years ago, the dinosaurs became extinct. And we are 2 million years old. Let me ask you, we've only been around 6,000 years, and how much heecack we have called as human beings. We've been alive 2 million years? There's no way. We're even alive. We would have killed everybody by then. 2 million years, there'd be nobody left. We're only 6,025 years old. If you use the Usher's chronology, he was 4,004 BC, approximately. We're 6,025 years old. And look Henry Morris did a study, how few years have not had a war going on. It's like out of every 13, only 1 year had not had a major war going on. We don't like each other. We as a people. Can I just give you one word for it? S-I-N. Sin. Now, some of these things are not in my notes. I'm still on page one. So James Sayer said a set of, this. What's your worldview? Which, by the way, you have one, just like a heart. Just like perhaps two lungs. My grandma lived with one kidney since she was from 18 years old to 88 years old. So we only have one kidney. But everybody has a worldview, a set of presuppositions which we hold about the basic makeup of the world. If you're a naturalist, you probably have the evolutionary mindset, the presupposition that there was a big bang, a cosmic accident, and you see everything else from that viewpoint. I have the viewpoint of a monotheistic, a theism viewpoint. James Sayer says again, the worldview involves the mind, but it is first of all a matter of commitment. It's a matter of commitment of the soul. And you wonder why people are so dead set in the abortion rights. Why are they so set? Because that is the commitment of their soul to their mindset. That's why they're so adamant. We've got to have this. Basically, this worldview is the view of the world. It's a model of reality, a set of theories believed by a person or a community about what exists, how and why things happen, what it means, that is used for living in the world and serves as a foundation for our thoughts, decisions, and actions. What about death? Now, you've been here long enough, you know what the Bible says about death, but the world does not. What does death mean? You try that on the street tomorrow. What does death mean? Well, you know, we're simply going to cease to exist, or we're all going to heaven. Well, all believers are going to heaven. That's a great song, the song says. But everyone's not going to heaven. We understand that. Why are we here? What's a human being? What is reality? If you are a nihilist, you're like, nothing is real. So, like, this fan's not real, although it's blowing air on me, it's not real. I'm not real. You're not real. And the end of nihilism is absolute discouragement. It was what Nietzsche, I don't know if that's how he pronounced his name, but he was that philosopher that had all these negativisms. He ended up in a mental institution before he died. Listen, you want peace of mind. The peace of God that passes understanding, it's right here. Read your Psalms. It's the peace comes. So the worldview is your view of the world used for living in the world. So in daily living, it should be the dominant influence shaping your decisions and actions. You say, I'm a child of God. Well, that's wonderful. Now you should live like it. You should live like it. A lot of people can say, oh, I'm a Christian. A disciple follows God. There's a lot of people espousing, I'm a Christian, and they very well be, and they may be going to heaven, but they're not a disciple. Do you know how many people follow Jesus while he's here on earth, and how many disciples did he have? I wonder tonight, am I a disciple? Are you a disciple? It's not just being a Christian. That's step one. It's, are you following Jesus? Doug Wilson, who is a controversial blogger, but he has some good thoughts, emphasizes the importance of developing a Christian worldview. Not sure why it does that every now and again. That is truly in the heart and mind, not just in the tongue, he says. It is converted into action. A Christian worldview is not the same thing as Christian worldview jargon. Again, a Christian worldview is not the same as a Christian worldview jargon. Having a Christian worldview means living like an obedient Christian in all of life. It's where the rubber meets the road. It's where you, when you make your decisions based upon what God has taught, it's when you make your decisions about what you understand the Bible to say, it's in keeping with the Word of God. So when Christians start compromising regarding the morality of what makes, certainly makes us... What makes morality or immorality? When we compromise with that, we're not living what we say we believe. A lot of professing believers, he says, they have a biblical worldview, live as if they don't. They say they have, but they really do not have a biblical worldview. Living a theistic worldview, a person then who is a theist. Are you a theist? If I ask you, are you a theist? Is that your worldview? It's not a trick question. Yes, I trust that you are. A theist is one who believes in God or gods. Now, I am not only a theist, I'm a monotheist. I believe in one. If you believe in one God, you are a monotheist. A theist can believe in a lot of gods, and we believe that God exists, where unlike the deist who believes that God created the world and then simply let it go on its own, that would be a deist. An atheist does not believe in God at all. At least they say they don't believe in God at all. They will, however, at one time when they pass from this life, certainly believe in the God they had denied. Deism, very popular during the founding of our nation, believed in God based upon reason rather than revelation. Teaching of any specific revelation as known, when they don't teach it, it's known as deism. That the world would happen. God created the world and then simply let it go on, perhaps in an evolutionary mindset. Merriam-Webster says, deists asserted that reason could find evidence of God in nature and that God had created the world and then left it to operate under the natural laws devised by God. Now, do they believe in the Bible? Yes, there was warm deists and there was cold deists. A cold deist would be like Voltaire. A warm deist would be like Ben Franklin. He was a warm deist. We find that the religious truth should be subject to the authority of human reason rather than divine revelation. Consequently, they denied the Bible as the revealed word of God and rejected Scripture as a source of religious doctrine. One of the most prominent deists would be Thomas Jefferson, the third president, Have you ever been to, it might have been to Monticello, his house. What amazing thing that is. You should go. You should see his clock in the front foyer. Anyway, he cut out of the Bible all the miraculous things, and he left. And as a matter of fact, you can go online, Amazon, and order the Jefferson Bible. It was, he calls it then, it is the life and morals of Jesus of Nazareth. He took it upon himself to cut out what he didn't like because it talked about the miraculous, supernatural. So a deist, now they were founded upon, and a lot of the people, or some of the people at least, who signed our Declaration of Independence were deists rather than theists. They do not believe in blaming God for life's horrors, such as disease, war, and disasters. Rather, a deist would say that it's in people's power to eliminate and neutralize atrocities, For example, by studying nature, humans found cures for disease. Deists envision a world in which cooperation will make warfare obsolete. That's a pipe dream, I would say that. Because I tell you, there's only going to be peace when the Prince of Peace comes and he rules with a rod of iron. And that's when the peace is going to come. And then finally, when every single person in the alive yet is on board with God and knows Christ as personal Savior, the new heaven and the new earth, and then we'll all get along at that point. Mankind is not going to get along on their own, period. Peace is only going to come. Now, the Antichrist will offer world peace, but as you well know, it will be a false offer. Continuing on, regarding living a theistic worldview, a person who is a theist, who believes, unlike the atheist, that God exists, and unlike the deist, that God actively does things in the world, the theist then has a theistic worldview. But if a theist in their thinking and actions lives as if God is not active, they are not living their worldview. They are not using their view of the world, or at least the view that they claim to believe, for the living in the world. Instead, they are using an atheistic, deistic worldview. So is this what they actually believe? He asks for their everyday living. Let me ask you, if we were to send people, we're going to gather some people together, and we're going to send them across the world to share the gospel with people who've never heard the gospel, would we send you? Would we send you? Is your attitude and your actions and your conformity to the word of God and your separation from the world such as we would be safe in sending you to people who've never heard of a Christian before, and you'd be what they find a Christian looks like? I think that a lot of Christians would do more harm than good. Just saying. I wonder about myself. I do more harm than good. I perhaps am so steeped in my own thinking and own what has to be done that maybe I couldn't even minister to someone else. It's a dreadful thought, really. Simply, I will give you the easiest illustration. A world views this. It's like a pair of sunglasses. These are $10. Get them at Tractor Supply. They're DeWalt $10. They're pretty good for $10. It's how you see everything. Everything looks a whole lot darker here. I can maybe go to sleep now. So that's what it is. It's your set of lenses that you view the world. So I view the world that God created everything, that he's upholding all things by the word of his power, and that he is one day going to come back to rule and to reign. So it colors everything. It affects your interpretation of everything. The extinction of dinosaurs. I tell you, the Bible says that they were alive even after the ark. So somehow, simply like all the other animals that have simply gone the way of extinction, so went the dinosaurs. There was not enough food. It was too cold. The ice age after the ark was after the ark time. They just simply died off. James Sire says, our worldview is generally unquestioned by each of us, rarely, if ever, mentioned by our friends, and only brought to mind when we are challenged by a foreigner from another ideological universe. I tell you, your worldview matters. And please don't simply say, I said before, there are some Christians, I wish they'd take their Christian flag down off their life because they're living so contrary to what God has told them to live. I don't want the name of Christ to be associated with you, really, generally, because you're not living as you should. Your worldview will really tell how that you consider things going on in the world today. So my worldview says the sanctity of human life, when I hear all these people who are so absolutely sold on pushing for the right, the constitutional right to abortion in our own country, it makes me angry. It does. Because they have no idea of who gives them life in the first place. So that was the explanation, what it is. Secondly, the examples. What do worldviews teach? In our text, I like this verse. If you want to turn over, Psalm 71:1. Psalm 71:1. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to what? Confusion. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. You want to know the answers. It's God's word is settled in heaven. It's from eternity past through eternity future, and it doesn't change. Don't look for, well, I'm going to have a new, when somebody says, well, I've got a new interpretation of something, you need to turn that off. And whoa, just a minute. No, whoa. We've got a new angle on this. I think we're not going to agree probably on these things. So what does it teach? Now, what are some worldview questions? And as I ask these, I want you to really quickly, in your mind, how would you answer these? Albert Mohler has four that he asks. First of all, where do we come from? Can you give me a Bible? Where do we come from? In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. Yes. Psalm 139, he knitted me together in my mother's womb. Jeremiah 1:6, he was called while in the womb. He's called to be a prophet, set apart to God. Paul says, I believe also in Galatians, he was set apart in the womb, I believe. So where do we come from? We were created by God, gives us life. You ask that to a person who has an evolutionary worldview? Well, about 15 billion years ago, there was a big bang, and from nothing came everything. That's like saying, I've got all the parts for a 747 airplane. I'm going to drop them from 30,000 feet. They're going to hit the ground, and when they just go, they're going to be in perfect. It's all going to come together, and even your eyeball has to be made all at once, or it does not work. Your body has to be. And this idea that we can have the days of creation could be millions of years, like 1,000 years and one day. Please, you need to do some research on these instead of parroting something you've never studied for yourself. Well, then if that works out, how do we have all the things in sequence, the grass growing and the animals eat and all these things working out in sequence? It's 6 literal days. Oh, but pastor, listen, you're going against God. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heaven and earth, the sea and all that is them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So there we go. One of the 10 commandments tell us. Oh, but pastor, we've got to consider what the world, boo-hoo on the world. Now, I'm saying that in a respectful way. We are to be going to the world. But man, we're imbeciles. Do you know, in our galaxy alone, there are 1,000 million stars. In our galaxy alone. And according to Hubble, right now they believe there's 100 million or 100 billion galaxies. And when we get their telescope going better, probably 200 billion galaxies. I can't even get past the Milky Way. 1,000 million stars. There are 3,200 planets in the Milky Way, stars that can have planets revolving, 3,200 that can have planets revolving around them. That's just in the Milky Way. And he upholds all those things. Can you imagine trying to name those? He calls, I found it in the Bible. He calls the stars by name. It's right in the Bible. And verse in Genesis chapter 1, the fourth day, at the end, he made the stars also. One little phrase, for all of that. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son for you and for me. You talk about humbling. We should be groveling in the dust in a respectful way. Now, he does want us to be worshiping, but that's how we are, for such a worm as I, spot on. And yet, he loves us so much, and he deigns to use us. He wants you and I, that's the most wonderful text today from someone I've been praying for. He wants you and I to be an example to others. You're the only Jesus some will ever see. Songwriter said that. So where do we come from? The second question he asks is, what is wrong with us? Well, there's nothing wrong with me. No, there is something wrong with you. It's called S-I-N, right? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. By the way, when you answer it, you need to have Bible. God's not promised to bless your words per se, but he has promised that his word will not return void. 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You want to know where we came from? We came from Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3. Do you not understand when people start talking about, were Adam and Eve real in Christian circles? Let me say, we're jettisoning the very word of God. If Adam and Eve weren't real, what do we have? That's why we have the fall of man. That's why we have sin. Because they sin, and because they sin is passed upon every single one of us. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what's wrong with us. Is there any hope? I've said to different people about different people. I had to get my card out. There's no hope for you. I'm not saying about anybody specific. I'm not right down there. Nobody specific yet. Is there hope? Yes. That's what we offer. The hope of Christ alive, living in us. The hope of glory. That's why we're meeting together, isn't it? We meet together to worship God, number one, and to edify one another so that you are better prepared tomorrow when someone asks you a question. Well, the Bible says, or God's word says. Now, you may not be able to quote the exact verse. You should be working on that, especially regarding salvation. You should have the Romans Road memorized, or at least in your Bible, unless the next verse to go to, well, says, oh, I would say memorize it. You're not going to have the Bible in front of you all the time. You should be ready. Is there any hope? Yes, there is hope. For God so loved the world that he gave. And where are we going? Where are we going? I can tell you where America's going. It's not a good place right now as a nation. But there are two places. I would turn them to Revelation chapter 20, 11 to 15. I would turn for the Christian to John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's where we're going. That's why what's going to happen to us? Well, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 17, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of the eye, and we're going to be up, and we're going to go up to heaven to be with him forever. That's where we're going. But also, I want you to know in Luke 16, tells a story of a rich man who rejected God, and he ended up in a place called hell. And some are going there. Matter of fact, I would say throughout history, far more are going to end up there. Unless you'd factor in the children that have been taken, their lives taken before they even were born. And that's going to be in the millions, hundreds of millions most likely. But yet I would still say more have rejected Christ than received him. I don't know what you're going to be asked this week, but I tell you, you and I have got to be ready with the worldview that you say you believe to be able to share it with someone else. Because they need to know what God has said. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we think about this truth, the truths, that this is your world. We're simply caretakers of it right now in a way. But Lord, you have called us to be salt and light in a world that so desperately needs to hear in love, yes, in love, but yes, the truth. The truth of the Word of God, the truth of the principles found in the Word of God. Why are we here? Where are we going? How do we get the moral values? Where do they come from? How should we live? Who made the world? How did it start? Were Adam and Eve real? Yes, we need to be able to give an apologetic, a defense of the gospel, an understanding from the biblical worldview. Lord, if we say we believe it, we have got to live it. The world is done with, tired of, Christians who simply say one thing and live just like the world. Lord, may we be separated unto you for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray.